Hi there, Chloe here. We all know we need to listen to our customers and build our businesses around them. So that's why I'm asking you to fill in my customer survey. I want to make sure the podcast keeps bringing you great, useful, inspiring content. To do that, I need to know a little more about you. So please head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/survey to take part right now.
It's the E-commerce Masterplan Podcast. Here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome to our latest podcast. I'm Chloe and it's great to have you listening. In today's episode, we're going to be talking juggling. Juggling running two successful e-commerce businesses and juggling operations in different countries. Plus, of course, a lot more, including great content marketing for e-commerce tips and how to still do SEO successfully. Without the sponsors, the podcast wouldn't be possible. So please do check them out. This episode is brought to you by SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. SendPro Online makes it easy to save time and money, no matter what you send or ship, and you'll always get the best rates and never overpay. With SendPro, you can compare shipping rates between carriers, plus save 5 cents a letter and up to 40% off USPS priority mail shipping. As a listener, you can get a free 30-day trial and a free £10 scale, but only when you visit pb.com/masterplan. That's pb.com/masterplan. And now to introduce today's special guest. Gerrick de Tournay is the founder of two fashion brands focused on providing sustainable products. Goudron Blanc is over 8 years old, offers unique crew and V-neck t-shirts for men using organic cotton. And Blackwood launched last year and sells accessories handmade from cork leather. They now serve a combined thousands of customers each year. Hello, Gerrick.
Hi, Chloe.
It's great to have you here, and I'm really excited to talk to you. We just had a little bit of an off-air chat, and quite frankly, this could go on for hours. So we're going to try and keep it to the high points. But before we get into the detail, could you tell us about how you ended up getting started off in e-commerce all those years ago?
Of course. There are actually many things that got me into e-commerce. If I think about it, there are like three main elements that brought me into that. The first one is my mom actually runs an e-commerce business. So I could see how things work from the backstage. And this really inspired me. And then there are a couple of other things that really got me into that. The first one is I've started blogging in 2001 when I was 10 years old. I was blogging about video games, and that really got me into creating things online. I really, really like that. And the last thing is this experience led me to start my own digital marketing agency when I was 16 years old, and working with lots of e-commerce businesses really got me into interest of first selling products online and second creating actually beautiful products. And kind of combining these three things together led me to start Goudron Blanc in 2011.
So it's more a case of how did you manage to resist starting one for so long, isn't it, rather than what actually led you to get started. With all those three different influences going on, it's amazing you held off for so long.
Exactly. I think what's preventing me from starting was what was holding me back was I didn't have a product I really, really liked in mind. And at some point, for some reasons, I got really passionate about t-shirts, especially about high quality t-shirts, because I couldn't find them in the market. And this willingness to create a beautiful product really hooked me.
Excellent. Well, look, let's cover off a couple of the key details about each of those businesses then. Let's start with Goudron Blanc, because as our listeners may have worked out from your voice, you are from France, aren't you? And Goudron Blanc is a French company. So are you shipping purely to France or are you selling everywhere?
So Goudron Blanc is selling everywhere, but I'd say 85% of the audience is based in France, Belgium and Switzerland, which are French-speaking countries. And the reason is because the main part of the website is in French, and we use a lot content marketing, and we focus only on the French speaking audience that we have for the content marketing.
Whereas Blackwood is English speaking, isn't it?
And Blackwood is English speaking. It's based in London. And the reason why it's the case is because my co-founder, Oscar, he's actually from Poland. So when we work together, we both speak English and we're both based in London. So it makes sense to have it focused on the UK market first, but English speaking markets in general. So we're already selling in the US and in Asia, as well as Australia.
I think we're going to have to get into the experience of selling into such different markets later on. But for now, I'll just keep us getting through the boxes. So what platform are you selling on with each of those? Are they both on the same site setup, or have you got them on different ones?
They're on the same setup. They're both on WooCommerce, so the e-commerce plugin of WordPress. And the reason is it's quite flexible. I've been using WordPress for ages and I really like the platform. So decided to kind of leverage that and use WooCommerce. I'm really happy with that.
Excellent. Given you're on WooCommerce, you must have some plugins that you love. So, have you got a couple you'd like to name check?
Yeah, of course. The one I really, really like is Yoast, this SEO plugin that probably everybody knows about. And another one that I really like as well is called Jilt. So the guys at Jilt do a really good job at managing the email lifecycle, especially abandoned carts. And that has saved many kind of almost missed opportunities to convince the people who go on the website to buy the t-shirts and the accessories.
Nice. I always think if you come across a WordPress site that doesn't have Yoast installed, they're someone who doesn't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, that is true.
I think pretty much I would love to know what percentage of WordPress installations have Yoast in, because it's got to be pretty high. Right, before you and I get geeky on WordPress, what does your team look like then across the two businesses?
So the teams are really lean. For Gudrun Blanc, this is myself. It's also a family business. So some members of my family helped me on that. And we have a few consultants working with us. So the whole goal of that is to keep the operating costs really lean. In terms of Blackwood, we are same. My co-founder and myself are full-time on it. And then we have a few people who help us. Well, at this stage, it's really still early on in the journey, but we've done already some really good progress.
And how do you find juggling two different businesses, as you have been for kind of like the last year? Do you find that pretty straightforward, or do you find it difficult for you personally?
It is something that I find really straightforward for me, but maybe it's probably part of my personality. And also what you have to keep in mind is these two businesses are both e-commerce businesses. They're both focusing on sustainable fashion. So they are really complementary. Maybe the biggest differences are the types of products and the fact that they don't focus on the same markets. But there is a lot of synergy by working on both. And also really helpful to work on different things, because they often help you to take steps back. And by doing so, you're actually more capable to have like new fresh ideas, to challenge yourself, and to experiment faster.
So are you the sort of person who would go, right, Mondays is Gudrun Blanc, Tuesdays is Blackwood, and so on? Or are you more a whichever one needs me is where I'm going to be during the day?
It's a bit of both at the same time. So I try to compartmentalize, because otherwise, yeah, it's really difficult to stay focused. And I always like to kind of keep some time to do like some really deep work. So I will definitely allocate time for both of the businesses. That being said, there are always some things that are more urgent and that need to be done, and some emergencies. So in that case, I would be obviously jumping on the emergency to solve the problem or get the opportunity.
The situation with any plan, at least it's there, even if it gets completely ignored.
Exactly. I think the most important things thing for planning is actually the process of planning and the reflection you get out of that.
Oh, so true. And I like the fact you said about how you have to have some kind of deep focus time. And if you're constantly not trying to allocate that time, that just never happens, does it?
Yeah, no, you need to be really, really disciplined around that. Otherwise, it's really easy to get distracted by emails, social media, or anything like that. And also, like, I think the most difficult thing is to be really focused on the things where you can have a real impact. Rather than like the tiny bits and admin things that you have to do, but are not necessarily the most important things for your business.
Ah, oh, so true. So true. Now, as well as juggling two businesses, you're juggling two very different e-commerce operating spaces. And I'm talking geographically here. The UK and France, whilst being incredibly nearby to each other, are actually very different e-commerce markets to operate in, aren't they? So how are you able to take learnings from each? Were you able to take anything from Goudron Blanc for the launch of Blackwood, or is it more a case of they're just too different?
So the foundational principles are quite similar. I say the main difference is actually how competitive it is in English. So for all of your listeners who don't work focusing on an English speaking market, they must see that it's often easier to focus on other languages because the competition is not as strong. And so I see sometimes like things that take up very easily, with Goudron Blanc, that don't, with Blackwood. And the main reason is because it is just so competitive. And also when you're focusing on the French market, France is kind of the main market, so you compete with like one country or like companies that are just in one country. In English, you, even though you're based in the UK and people, your market is in the UK, you're also competing for attention from companies that are based in the US or in Australia, in Canada, which makes it much, much harder.
And I know a lot of our audience will not be selling into France. Have you got a couple of tips for people who might want to do that in terms of how to succeed?
First is making sure that if you don't speak French yourself, you work with a very, very good translator, because French people don't really tolerate spelling mistakes or kind of wordings that are a bit clunky. So you need to be really, really good at that.
So we're saying Google Translate is not going to cut it?
No, definitely not.
And not for customer services either. So you need a translator or a French speaker.
Yes.
In the business.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I'd say the second thing is kind of obviously understanding the markets and the differences between the French markets and the French culture and the culture of the main market you're focusing on.
Okay, cool. Thank you for those. And I think that translation one is so true. I remember a business I was doing a bit of work for, the ops team had decided they would just turn on eBay France and Germany and just start sending the feed there. And they hadn't told the customer service team. And the customer service team, within which nobody spoke German or French, knew about this, was when they came in on Monday morning to find a load of emails in French and German, and then spent the rest of the week using Google Translate to translate them. Please, listeners, do not be like that. It's not worth it. Really, really not worth it.
No, definitely not. That being said, I think it's possible to track a bit of the markets with an English website, but you'll be still at the surface of the markets because not that many people in France are comfortable buying products in English.
The other big thing you mentioned, which I know is huge for your business, is content marketing, which has been essential in the Goudron Blanc growth. So how have you, what first of all made you decide to focus on content marketing? Because it's not often one that an e-commerce business goes after.
Yeah, no, that's true. There are a couple of things. First, as I said, I started blogging very, very young. So I knew a bit of how content works on the internet. So I really wanted to do that. And the other thing is I also had a look at the industry, because you have to know that when I started Goudron Blanc in 2011, I didn't know anything about fashion. So one of the first steps I took was to meet a lot of fashion entrepreneurs and also look at what other fashion entrepreneurs were doing. And I realized that a few successful businesses were actually investing in content. And the other thing that I realized is that there were a lot of fashion bloggers and influencers that were getting a huge amount of traffic. I was thinking, instead of trying to advertise on their websites, why not creating my own media? And this is what led me to actually really focus on content marketing.
So have you done the content marketing in terms of creating the blog at Goudron Blanc or creating additional blogs or getting guest posts put in other places? What's been your kind of content marketing go-to method?
So initially it was a blog created on the Goudron Blanc website. And this was a blog that was kind of telling everyone about the company, about the journey, being an entrepreneur. And I really thought it would take off and that people would be interested in kind of knowing a bit more about the backstage of the business, because I'd seen this working for other businesses. And actually, it didn't really work out. I mean, a few people were interested. My mom loved that. but actually, customers weren't really interested in the backstage. So after a bit of experimentation, I took a few steps back and realized that this wasn't working well. So then looking at the market, and as I said, I realized that lots of fashion bloggers were getting traction. I got inspiration from them and decided to start a real fashion blog, still on the Goudron Blanc website. So it's goudronblanc.com/blog. It's in French. And the content is focusing mostly on fashion trends, around sustainability, recommending some other brands that are doing a great job at pushing the sustainability through fashion, and also giving practical advice, such as how to wash a cardigan made of cashmere, or things like that. And this is when the blog actually really took off. And the main reason for that, I think, is because I switched from generating content that was about the company and kind of trying to elevate the work we were doing to content that was actually useful and answering questions that people we are targeting are interested in.
Yes, because obviously you're selling t-shirts, but you're putting up blogs about cashmere cardigans. So it clearly strikes me that it's what are our customers challenged by, what are our customers interested in, not what else can we tell them about our product. I think a lot of e-commerce businesses struggle to make that leap when it comes to content.
That is true. That is true. And yeah, I wanted to kind of focus more on the worldview and on what the people who are targeting liked, in addition to wearing great t-shirts. So obviously, if you're interested in wearing beautiful and high quality t-shirts, you're also interested in wearing beautiful and high quality cardigans, trousers, shoes, which means that by showing that we have some expertise in recommending other brands and in diving into the details of these types of garments, it means that we also have expertise in t-shirts. And that's something that is really reassuring for our audience.
And has that, throughout the last 8 years, has that content marketing focus for Goudron Blanc been all about the written word, or has it taken other content forms?
At the moment, written words, as well as photography. So lots of pictures, a little bit on Instagram, not too much, but a lot via email and on the blog. So that has been a huge part of our focus. And now I'm really, to be honest, looking at YouTube as another media. It's taking off very well. The big question I have is how to make the content different and useful for the audience. I do believe that even though you can repurpose content in different media, in different platforms, I think each platform has its own kind of user intent and its own culture. And right now what I'm basically looking at is the culture on YouTube, on the French markets, and being sure that when we'll start creating content on YouTube, we'll be hitting something that is really useful and valuable for our audience.
Excellent. And I guess that's where it comes in with that lower competition levels in the French-speaking world rather than the English-speaking world, means content marketing is a bit easier in France than it is in the UK. Is that something you found, or have you been able to replicate a lot of what you've done with Goudron Blanc into Blackwood?
It is definitely easier in France for many reasons. So it's less competitive. It's also easier to reach out to influencers, to get backlinks when you create really good content. And you stand out much more easily. In English, I mean, it is doable. It's much more competitive. And creating really differentiated, high-value content becomes more difficult. And you end up very quickly, if you want to stand out, focusing too much on the long tail, which doesn't generate enough traffic to justify the time and effort you invest and money you invest in creating this content.
So with Blackwood, have you done much content marketing, or have you found other routes to market for that one?
So we are at the beginning. We've found like a few routes to market. I do believe in doing things that don't really scale at the beginning of a company. So we're obviously creating content and building the foundation for what's going to help us scale. So we have a blog that is already getting visits on well-targeted keywords. We're about to start a podcast, basically focusing on the same as for Gaudron Blanc, making sure that we create high-quality content for the worldview that people share in our target audience, which means we'll be talking a lot about sustainability and how actually we can encourage sustainability through business, especially fashion.
Greg, I can't let the fact you're launching a podcast pass me by there. So the podcast is going to be for Blackwood, but it's focused on the bigger sustainability question rather than the products themselves.
Exactly. Once again, it's focusing on things that really get the interest of our audience. And we know that if you're interested in buying accessories that are made of sustainable and eco-friendly materials, it means that you also have an interest in sustainability at a more general level, which means that you'll be interested in hearing about other companies that are also pushing sustainability through their work, and kind of other experts who are also interested in this area.
So whilst on Gaudron, the blog is on the website, so it's the Gaudron Blanc blog. With Blackwood, is the podcast the Blackwood podcast, or have you gone with a slightly different brand for the pod?
So for the podcast, we did come up with a different name. So the name of the podcast is Living the Green by Blackwood. And the reason we did that is because it makes more sense to have something that really, it's basically a bit of branding that really tells people what's in the podcast. And we want to help them understand that this is about sustainability above all, and this is not just about our brand.
And is that podcast available to listen to?
Yes, it is. It is. So we've released the first episode, which is actually in itself about Blackwood and our journey in starting a sustainable business. So our first season is going to focus on how to start and grow a sustainable fashion business. And we have a few episodes where we're going to be interviewing experts and entrepreneurs. We're going to focus more on creating and building a fashion business. And then we'll have further, the next seasons will be in more general about sustainability, but still with like a specific focus for each season.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Shipping is complex. Now there's a better way to manage it all. Send Pro Online by Pitney Bowes. Easily compare USPS and other shipping options, print labels and stamps on your own printer, track all shipments. Plus, despite the USPS post rates increase in January, you'll still get great discounts on USPS priority mail shipping and get 5 cents off every letter you send. SendPro Online is only $14.99 per month. You can get a free 30-day trial when you visit pb.com/masterplan, plus a free £10 scale. That's pb.com/masterplan.
It's time for the top tips round.
Now, I love the top tip section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Garrick, are you ready?
I am.
Marvelous. First up then, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agrees to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
This is such a great question, Chloe. Actually, I wish people would actually do that, taking a day off to read a book. In terms of the book I would recommend, I think I do believe a lot in just in case reading, but reading something because you actually need it. That being said, I think as an entrepreneur, often you are your own limit. I think you can go as far as you want to go. And there is a book that has inspired me a lot to do that, which is called Don't Let the Fear Win by Greg Faxon. Greg Faxon is he's a coach, and he's been coaching a lot of entrepreneurs and other coaches. And his book, Don't Let the Fear Win, is really good at kind of motivating you. It's not a book that is going to help you kind of figure out something you may not know, but it's a very motivational, inspirational book. And I really, really like reading it. I've often read it when I feel like I need a push.
Excellent. We all need those around us. Okay, the traffic top tip then. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I think SEO could be the case. That's something that has been truly valuable for us. And I guess lots of people don't focus as much on SEO as they should, because you have to be really patient. It takes time to build a good strength in SEO for a business. But when once it works, it works very well.
Couldn't agree with you more. And a couple of weeks ago, I was judging the UK e-commerce awards, and there were two standout case studies in there from agencies who'd taken over the SEO of a couple of e-commerce businesses. And oh my word, the impact they had in competitive marketplaces with difficult keywords for businesses who had already been investing in SEO. And they still had substantial impacts over a 12-month period. So anyone out there who thinks it's dead and buried and impossible to do in the UK or impossible in your market, take another look, because there's money out there to be made if you get it right, I have to say. Right, sorry, I'm detracting us from the top tips. So the tool top tip, Garrick, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
There is indeed. I am a big, big fan of Trello. That's a tool that's I use personally to monitor my to-do list and to collaborate for my businesses and to kind of track all of the projects I run. And this is really, really helpful. I just love visualizing the whole flow of work or flow of ideas or flow of communication.
Excellent. One of the popular tools on the show as well. The growth top tip then. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
I think, again, my top tip for growing a business from 100 to 1,000 would be creating very valuable and well-targeted content. Something that's it's not necessarily going to scale that much, but it's going to get you from the 100 people you're currently serving to the 1,000 people you want to serve.
Yet more great advice. Okay, Garrick, before we say goodbye, could you let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Of course. So they can get great t-shirts on gudrunblank.com. And if they're interested in beautiful accessories made of sustainable materials, they can go on blackwood.co.uk. To find me, I'm not really on social media. I'm personally trying to avoid being there, but I do have a blog called garrick.co.uk. And if they want to kind of get regular updates from me, they can subscribe to my newsletter called Progress.
Excellent. And I can't let you leave without mentioning the fact you've recently even published a new book, The Value Mix, Creating Meaningful Products and Services for Your Audience. So congratulations on that, a big achievement. Could you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Yeah, of course. So The Value Mix is a book that I wrote after actually kind of experiencing some hard times when I started Gudrun Blank, because I realized in hindsight that I didn't really have a clear view on who my target audience was. And by doing lots of research, talking to some of my mentors, I got much more insight into who the audience was. And this really helped me grow the business. And by doing so, I also developed a framework that I shared in the Value Mix. Basically, this is kind of my way to help other entrepreneurs and other product managers, other marketers find really good insight by looking at their target markets.
It sounds very good, and I'm certainly going to be getting my hands on a copy. But here's a special offer on the book for our listeners. So you can get that, guys, if you want to grab a copy. Head to the show notes, which is at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast to get there. You'll find links to everything in the show, but you'll also find a link to get that special offer on the book. So, Garrick, thank you so much for being generous with your book and for also being so generous with your sharing your experience on the podcast today. It's been absolute pleasure. So thank you very much for being on.
Thank you, Chloe. Thank you for your great questions. It was a pleasure.
So there you go. Content marketing is not dead in France or the UK, and nor is SEO. Well, look, to get your hands on the notes from today's show, including the top tips, links, and details of related episodes, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Have a great week and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.